Can 2,000-year-old infrastructure still be associated with economic development today? That's exactly what a new paper argues. The authors make the extraordinary claim that we can still detect the economic effects of the roads that crisscrossed the Roman Empire. Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with some of the world's leading economists. My name is Tim Phillips, and to find out more about this, I called Pablo Celaya at the University of Copenhagen. He's one of the authors of the CEPR discussion paper, Roman Roads to Prosperity, Persistence and Non-Persistence of Public Goods Provision. The author's column on VoxEU has been one of the most read in recent months. So we dug a little deeper into the methods that the authors used to discover the persistent effects of public goods 2 millennia after they were built. I began by asking Pablo why economists are interested in historical infrastructure like this.
Well, economists are interested in infrastructure like this because it's strongly related with the provision of public goods, which has been an area of active research in economics for a long time. So infrastructure, in particular transportation infrastructure, is important because it affects trade patterns, the dynamics of important prices, and the volatility of income, and things like that that have important economic and welfare implications. And these implications can last for a long time. So this is what drives our attention towards historical infrastructure. So in the case of Roman roads, we found a fascinating example of infrastructure that was built 2,000 years ago. So that's why we were interested in studying the consequences of that.
For people who don't know about the history of Roman road building, what's unusual about them?
They had very interesting features. They were first built mainly for military purposes. The idea was to transport troops quickly, effectively, into newly conquered territory. So the roads were not following existing routes. They were just trying to expand the presence of the empire in the new conquered territory. Because of that, related to that, the segments of the Roman roads network tended to be very long and very straight, trying to surmount geographic challenges rather than trying to evade them, because that would be the most quick and effective way of transporting troops from A to B. So that means that they would go through hills or through rivers by building bridges, and sometimes they had to build alongside drainage systems. So it was sophisticated infrastructure that was built mainly for military purposes. But one of the most unusual or surprising features of the Roman roads network is the extreme persistence that they seem to have had in history. We found in the paper that the density of Roman roads is a strong predictor of the density of modern roads. So these ancient highways that the Romans built predict the density of modern highways.
You make the claim that they were associated with development in antiquity, and we can still detect that effect today. What sorts of data are you using to be able to analyze this?
We can document that the Roman roads had an immediate impact in terms of economic development. So for that, we used the location of large settlements in the year 500 in a digital atlas of the Roman Empire that we found in Lund University in Sweden. So we computed the density of these large settlements around the year 500 and studied the relationship of the density of settlements in 500 with the density of roads, and we found a strong positive correlation, so supporting the idea that Roman roads were promoting development. In terms of contemporary outcomes, we looked at two measures. We looked at satellite images produced by NASA. So NASA produces these global maps of Earth at night that shows patterns of human settlements across the planet. And these patterns of human settlements across the planet have been shown to be indicative of the presence of higher economic activity, higher urban infrastructure, more people living in these places where you see more lights at night when you see Earth from space. So we computed differences in terms of the average luminosity that you see at night in different places, and correlated that with the density of Roman roads, and then again found a strong positive relationship between that, suggesting that the economic impact of Roman roads is also detectable 2,000 years later. We used the second measure of contemporary development, which is based in population density. Higher density of Roman roads is also associated with larger population densities
It really is a remarkable conclusion that the density of roads is associated with economic activity 2,000 years later. How do we know, though, that this is not just the effect of the Roman Empire in general?
That is a very good question. That's a great point because, you are completely right. The Romans were building roads, but at the same time, they were bringing lots of new ideas, new types of institutions, new views about culture, all these different things. So in order to disentangle the effect of this type, this particular type of infrastructure from the rest of the of this broad Roman legacy, we only compare areas within the extent of the Roman Empire at its zenith in around the year 117. So that means that by looking only within the Roman Empire, the effects are not driven by the fact that some areas were affected by Rome and some areas were not affected by Rome. To make the comparison even more fine, we also look at variation within countries, because you might be worried that differences in this pattern of persistence might be driven by the fact that there are some countries that have been historically richer than other countries. And that's why we can detect this pattern, because there, perhaps in richer countries, the density of Roman roads is higher and it's associated with a higher density of modern roads because there have been more resources to maintain these historically. So that's why we look at differences only within countries, trying to compare regions within countries. And even within countries, we try to be very precise about making the comparison by looking at areas where people tend to speak a traditional ethnic language. For example, in France, Basque or some Breton or Gascon or Provençal. So maybe in these different areas where these languages are also present, they have different informal sets of rules, different cultural traditions, and different things that in the end affected the way in which roads were maintained and that could be driving this pattern of persistence. So we make the comparison within the Roman Empire, within countries that lie within the contours of the Roman Empire, and within regions, within countries that are in this area. And in the end, we find that all the results are driven by parts of these regions that have a little more density of roads than regions that had a little less density of roads. And this is where the variation comes from. So it is not confounded by the fact that some countries are richer or poorer, or that some cultures might be more functional for maintaining public goods than others, or the fact that some parts were Rome and not Rome.
I note, despite all of this, that you're still very cautious in your language. You talk about how these Roman roads are associated with economic activity. Can we go further and say that the roads caused development?
Based on all those tests that I talked about, we could say that we have enough evidence to think that the Roman roads caused development. But we were lucky because we could corroborate that finding by using a historical event as a natural experiment. So we used the abandonment of wheel transportation that happened in North Africa and the Middle East somewhere between the 4th and the 6th centuries, which is an event that documented by economic historians that had a proximate reason, and its key proximate reason was the emergence of camel caravans as a substantially cheaper means of transportation. So in the Middle East and the north of Africa, they replaced these carts that were pulled by oxen by camel caravans as the means of transportation. And this happened as the outcome of a series of events. So around the year 100 BC, the tribes that were herding camels made some technological improvements and were able to design more functional saddles for these peoples to carry weapons and then gain more presence and more political power. And at the same time, by the end of the 5th century, Rome started to decline and Islam started to rise. So by the end of the 5th century, the roads in the north of Africa and in the Middle East started to become less maintained. They were not useful because predominant means of transportation became the camel caravan. That's why perhaps the roads in that area of the former Roman Empire started to decline. That didn't happen in Europe, where ox-drawn carts remained as the main means of transportation, and therefore, you know, provided incentives for people to maintain roads and perhaps build more roads, new roads, perhaps on top of the old roads. The testable implication of this historical event is that in places where they abandoned wheel transportation and they didn't need to maintain roads, we should see all this persistence, this degree of persistence weakened. And that's what we detect. So the strength of the association between Roman road density and later outcomes is much lower and statistically less strong in the north of Africa and in the Middle East than it is in Europe. And the reason might be that wheel transportation was abandoned, and that happened more or less as an exogenous shock for the roads network.
But, Pablo, we can't go back in time and make more infrastructure. So what can we learn from this that's useful for development today?
I think we can learn two things. First, from the point of view of economics and research in economics, this shows that innovating the way in which you combine different sources of data, here we combine satellite data with archaeological data, with historical events, and we found that we were able to uncover really remarkable findings. I mean, the fact that something that happened 2,000 years ago has still an impact today is a very interesting thing to uncover. Given that this is related to transportation infrastructure and to the provision of public goods in general, this could also be very useful from a policy point of view. This is detailed and powerful evidence of the degree of persistence of public goods, and this could be useful as a guide for policy choices and to gauge their returns to making these investments.
Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you very much, Tim.
I have been speaking to Pablo Celaya, Associate Professor of Development Economics, University of Copenhagen, and one of the authors of the popular Vox column on Roman roads and the sources of persistence and non-persistence in development. You can read it now, and we'd certainly recommend it. This has been a Vox Talk presented by the Center for Economic Policy Research. For more in the series, visit voxeu.org/vox-talks.